This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Trash Tuesday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. We come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Coming up this hour on the show, Nick Mangold, 7-time Pro Bowl offensive lineman. He's going to join us coming up here in about 30 minutes from now. Also, just before Thanksgiving hit, it appears there is a turkey rebellion going on. We shall discuss what to look out for as the turkeys are coming for you. Last night, Santa Clara, Levi Stadium, the San Francisco 49ers coming in undefeated and leave with their first loss. The Seattle Seahawks find a way to get it done. They win in overtime at the buzzer in a game-winning field goal. And the Seahawks have now pulled to within a half game of the Niners. San Francisco's 8-1. The Seahawks are 8-2. And Seattle has put its foot squarely in the number one seed race now in the NFC. Niners at 8-1, Seahawks and Packers at 8-2, Saints at 7-2. That Saints loss to the Falcons could really come back to haunt them. There is no excuse for the Saints who have lost that game on Sunday, especially in the way that they did 26-9, to only cobble together three field goals against a garbage Falcons team that's been unable to create any pressure on the quarterback and allow the Falcons to consistently be in your backfield was inexcusable. And I think that the Saints had a letdown, had an exhale because they had Drew Brees back. I think when they played with Teddy Bridgewater, they knew they all had to pick up the slack. I think with Brees coming back, they feel as though they don't have to do as much because he will save them. And it came back to bite them in that game. And that one is a killer because they should be 8-1 and tied with the Niners right now with a game against the Niners coming up in a few weeks. Seahawks, a great win. It was a win that looked highly unlikely when they entered the fourth quarter down 21-10. But creating the fumble on Russell Wilson, returning it for the touchdown by DeForest Buckner, consistently making things hard on the Seahawks defensively in the first half, but unable to do the same thing in the second half, Seattle adjusted, and the Seahawks got an unworldly effort by pass rusher Jadeveon Clowney. And think about the Seahawks getting Clowney for just a third. What a steal by the Seahawks. What a debacle by Bill O'Brien of the Texans. You don't think that Clowney could be helping Houston right now for a third? The Texans mismanaged that every single way, and now he's in Seattle, and he just put a hurting on the 49ers. So a really good win by the Seahawks, a gutty win. The fact is the Seahawks had so many different chances to ice that game. They had the chance to ice the game, obviously up 21-10. You just can't fumble the football there and allow a defensive score. You were so good in the second half, limiting Garoppolo and the Niners offense. Then you're up three on that final drive. You have at least two chances to intercept Jimmy Garoppolo, including one in the shoulder pad to K.J. Wright. He just flat-out drops it. That would have iced the game. And then in overtime, when Russell Wilson's pulling rabbits out of the hat, and he gets all the way down inside the red zone and then throws a terrible INT or just outside of the red zone, inside the five-yard line, which he throws that a little bit higher. That's a touchdown. At the very least, it should have been a potential game-winning field goal, even though there was going to be another drive by the Niners in OT. So the Seahawks really had to avoid collapsing in that situation because they had so many chances to sew it up. But I also want to talk about the Niners, because Jimmy Garoppolo might be the most confusing quarterback in the NFL. There are days that Garoppolo looks the part. There are days Garoppolo stands tall in the pocket, delivers well-thrown footballs, tight spirals, on point, scores touchdowns, wins games, has that megawatt smile, and tells Aaron Andrews, "You know it, baby. Yeah, baby. Oh, baby." Looking all types of confident. And then there are moments last night that we've seen other times this season where Garoppolo looks skittish. He throws off his back foot. He throws into coverage. And how many times last night did Garoppolo get away with one? How many times last night did Jimmy G throw one up for grabs and it just got dropped by the Seahawks, or deflection falls away, or it's 3 inches away from the Seahawks taking it to the house? Garoppolo at times just looks out of sorts. This Niners team is incredibly well-balanced. That defense is phenomenal. They run the football well. They've got a great tight end. They're well coached. They've got a smart offensive scheme. They've added a veteran free agent wide receiver. They have pieces. This is not a fluke that they're 8-1. Not a fluke. But Garoppolo at times looks like, oh yeah, he's the perfect quarterback for this team. Doesn't make the mistakes. Happy to game manage. Makes the throws when you need them. Doesn't try to do too much. And then there are nights like last night where you go, he is lost. Completely lost in the second half. And essentially tried to give it up. I mean, I'm thinking to myself, boy, did this guy win the lottery of all lotteries? First of all, he looks like a movie star. Second of all, he's in the Bay Area starting quarterback for a team that has all of the parts to win and win big, and it doesn't even have to be on him. And he's throwing passes into Seattle Seahawks defenders, and they're dropping them. I mean, talk about good luck. Everything's turning up Jimmy G there. I don't think the 49ers can win a Super Bowl right now with the way Jimmy Garoppolo plays quarterback. I think they can get to the playoffs with a bye. I think they could win a playoff game. But ultimately, when you look around this NFC postseason, the 49ers and Jimmy Garoppolo at some point will run into Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, or Russell Wilson again. At some point, they're going to have to play one of those teams or two of those teams. Maybe in the first round, they get an Eagles. Maybe in the first round, they get a Vikings. Maybe in the first round, they get a Panthers. Maybe they get a Cowboys. Okay. But the 49ers are not going to be able to avoid getting to a Super Bowl and not have to play Rodgers, Brees, or Russell Wilson. And Garoppolo just does not have what it takes to get past those guys play for play. Now, because the Niners are really balanced, he doesn't have to outduel the opponent. But in the playoffs, you have to have a quarterback make big throws, make big plays, or else you're toast. And in the Super Bowl last year, what did we see? Jared Goff melted down. At some point, it rears its ugly head. At some point, average quarterbacking kills you in the playoffs in today's NFL. And Garoppolo right now is too streaky. I like Garoppolo long term. I think he'll be fine. I'm talking about right now, though. Some days, he looks great. Other days, he looks bad. And Mraz, I can't think of another hot and cold quarterback, quite like Garoppolo, that is this confusing to assess on a weekly basis?
I walk out of some games watching the 49ers and think, okay, he's in that next, I think he's better than Wentz, he's going to be a top five guy. And then I walk out of games like last night going, their defense is really good, but man, if this guy has to drive the car, you could be in real trouble. And when you think like that, up and down every week, that's just the definition of average. I don't think maybe we should overreact every game and just understand he's probably good enough with the right tools around him and the right defense to win you a Super Bowl. Maybe he's Joe Flacco.
Wild card weekend, Niners, Vikings. What quarterback do you trust?
I trust Garoppolo over I trust Kirk Cousins. You can't trust Kirk Cousins in a big spot. He's earned that right not to trust him.
Okay, Sunday night was pretty good.
Okay, it was good. Again, that was when you're playing the fraud bowl, somebody's got to out-fraud the other.
Okay. Niners, Cowboys, which quarterback you take?
I'm taking Dak. Now I'm taking...
Now Dak's been real rough in some big situations.
But he's also won a couple playoff games. I think Dak Prescott's actually played well. He played well in that game they lost versus the Packers, too, when Rodgers went down the field. The problem is I take Shanahan over Garrett.
Yes. No question. Because Jason Garrett helped lose another football game on Sunday night. Talk about frauds. You desperately need to run the football that badly that you refuse just to take what the defense is giving you, which is throwing the football constantly. Dak was fine throwing the football all night long, Gallup, Cooper, the two tight ends. And then all they need to do is keep going that way in the air through to the end zone. And they just turtle up, try to run Zeke twice. They get totally mauled, and the whole thing goes to crap.
Just remember, they have all that talent that how the heck can you afford to sign them all under the cap, but yet they're 5-4. Tell me that's not a head coaching problem.
Jason Garrett has survived so long by being such an underwhelmingly average, below average head coach.
Sounds like my producing career.
Now, I mean, to be fair to Garoppolo last night, he didn't have Kittle and he didn't have Sanders last night.
Right.
So that's part of it. But
when the run game breaks down, can he make it happen?
But I think also the problem is that last night was not the only time we've seen that from Garoppolo. There's been other times this season when he's had those guys that he looks a little deer in headlights, that looks like he's been pretty average.
Well, let's look at the other part of this, though, too. To give Garoppolo kind of a pass, he missed all of last year, and the year before only became a starter the second half of the year. He's kind of in his second year as a starting quarterback while in his, what, 6 years
True.
NFL career.
Yes. That's why I don't worry about him long term. I'm talking about if the Niners need to, if we're assessing whether the Niners can win a Super Bowl this year, I don't think they can because of the way that Garoppolo has been pretty average. And they've got a great defense, great run game. I like their coach. I like their scheme. I just think, you know, in today's NFL, it's really, really hard to win what would amount to 3 or 4 football games in January if you've got average quarterbacking. Once upon a time, you could. Can't do it anymore. When we come back here on the show, we'll get to more of your trashes, and there's a turkey rebellion going on before Thanksgiving. Are you in their crosshairs? Gobble, gobble. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
We're going full blackout moment in the air.
Full blackout mode, huh?
Full blackout mode. We're talking black.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Huh.
Oh. Valid point.
21 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Sunday in NFL on CBS doubleheader featuring a battle between two of the most dynamic quarterbacks of the sport. When Lamar Jackson of the Ravens welcomed Deshaun Watson of the Texans, followed by the Patriots bracing for another road test in Philly. It all starts with JB and the guys on the NFL Today. Noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS.
CBS, spectacular, yeah!
And a brand new episode of Nomad is out, my travel series. This dates back to April when Mraz and I went up for the Final Four to Minnesota. You betcha. We got to get a behind-the-scenes tour of beautiful Target Field, home of the Twins, and got some pretty cool behind-the-scenes footage. And then also, where we went to the Minnesota Wild game, got to see the state of hockey. And also, we got to eat the state of hockey as we tried many hockey-themed sports bar items. So that's all part of this week's episode of Nomad, available right now on YouTube. Just search my name and Nomad, and then subscribe for free for notifications of brand new episodes. Headley tweets, careful with this Harry Potter thing, D.A. You're going to have half-ass wannabe wizards flog you to death outside of the studio with 20-year-old brooms when you get off today. Hashtag Hermy Hymie Homie.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
James tweets, I'm trashing the Quidditch point system. It makes no sense. Hashtag Trash Tuesday.
So frustrating.
On email, you can always send us trashes as well. And Tyler emails me, D.A., I'm trashing Tess. Good Lord, he's awful. I'd love a word count comparison between him and Al Michaels. Nonstop chatter between him and Booger. Nonstop unnecessary information about players like their tenure in the NFL or how recently they were traded. Way too detailed play calling, like it's on the radio, but not good details at all. Always using full names of players. You know it's awful. Preaching to the choir. I'll be listening to Kevin Harlan and Kurt Warner as I watch the game next week. They do the radio broadcasts. I have to say, Jason Witten's disastrous one season in the booth camouflaged the other two guys. Now Booger and Tess are on their own, and it's bad. It's bad. I don't know what it is, honestly, because I think that they're both decent broadcasters, but there is something about the booth that feels completely artificial. I mean, it's like Tess has to ratchet up every big play call to a 10, but before that, calls plays at a 2. It's like 2, 2, 3, 2, 3, 10, 10, 10! And Booger, he just has these separate thoughts that never actually combine to make sense. He starts on one track, then goes to a different track. He didn't actually end up assessing or analyzing anything. And Witten was so bad last year, so bad, that it detracted or distracted us from the other two guys. And now the other two guys are that bad, which means that ESPN might have went 0 for 3 in this announcing team. I think Tess is fine on college. It feels like college kind of needs a little bit of artificial enthusiasm because you're calling games that don't have a lot of importance oftentimes anyway. So, you know, yeah, you put him behind the mic on Wake Forest NC State and he gets really fired up on a Thursday night and you're like, all right, cool. The guy's into it. When you put him on Monday Night Football, it shouldn't feel so artificial. And I mean, last night, I don't know. I think last night, for the first time, the Twitter pitchforks were really out for those two guys. I mean, Booger's been getting it pretty bad this year, but I don't know if you were on Twitter last night, Mraz. It feels like there is a groundswell of Tess hate after last night.
Yeah, I really wasn't on Twitter as much, but watching the game, I was feeling it myself, and it speaks to, I really don't have to add any more to what you're saying. I mean, Chris Carson runs an 11-yard run, basically, into the end zone, and the guy is acting like it's, you know, the great running of the Bulls. You know, pumps that whole thing up. And I'm like, all right, whoa, dude. Whoa there. Relax, Tess.
I don't know what it is about Tessitore. Maybe he's trying really hard.
I think he's trying to sound like it's the big moment of the big game, but it does come across as not natural. Like, and I hate to do this because this is one of my favorite exciting announcers of all time, but when Gus Johnson does this, Gus Johnson sounds natural. It sounds like he is in the moment. That's how he feels. It doesn't feel like Tess feels the way he sounds, if that makes sense.
I think that's fair. And I think also a guy like Kevin Harlan, he is at a pitch consistently the entire day. So that game is being called at a 7, 8, or a 9 constantly, or an 8, 9, and a 10. He's never dropping all the way to
right.
a 2.
That's a good point.
And Tess is sometimes at a 2 or a 3, and then on a scoring play, his mind explodes.
Because, and it may be not Tess's fault necessarily, but it kind of started this way, and it wasn't McDonough's fault either. Monday Night Football has kind of felt like a talk show that gets up for the big moments during the game. if that makes sense. Like, your play-by-play is there, but it's a constant, like, we're going around the league all day or talking about the coaches on either side. There's never a moment where the game's breathing and you're watching the game. It's just constant conversation the whole time. So I think when you're having constant conversation, you're not going to have that in an enthusiastic pitch. And then when all of a sudden the big moment bursts out after you're breaking down, you know, Greg Salah and his defense real quickly for no reason, then it's going to sound unnatural.
I'll tell you this. You've got Michaels and Collinsworth and Buck and Aikman. Those are gold standards. You've got Nant and Romo, an incredibly popular booth. And then you've got Tess and Booger. The idea that those are the four A teams for the four networks, I mean, Tess and Booger, that's beyond JV. That's modified.
Look, and I know that job's hard. I get it. I'm not great at my job in broadcast. I know that job's hard. Tess and Booger, if they were on either CBS or Fox, I am convinced they would be the fourth team at best.
No doubt.
They would be getting Jaguars, Broncos.
No doubt. No doubt.
They're Harlan, Ian.
Come on, yeah. Ian Eagle and Dan Fouts.
Burkhart.
Doing last night's game. Burkhart and Davis doing last night's game. Totally better.
Be great.
Unbelievable.
Give me a Burkhart wide open. Give me that in that spot over Tess.
Totally right. Totally right.
He's in the Dick Stockton team on a Sunday.
He's doing, you know,
right.
Cardinals Browns.
Or, you know, whoever that scrub is, Andrew Catalan. He's doing that kind
whoa,
of
whoa,
I'm
whoa,
just kidding.
Whoa, whoa,
I'm
whoa,
just kidding.
Whoa, whoa.
We love Catalan.
We'll
here.
Let Catalan know you said that.
I'm just kidding.
Next time you won't be holding his hand in a canoe.
Cat, I'm sorry.
This is a scary sight. There are turkeys right now that are on the loose. And there are turkeys that are threatening a New Jersey community. In fact, so much so that Major League Baseball player Todd Frazier tweeted at the governor that these turkeys in Asbury Park, New Jersey, a roving band of wild turkeys, are terrorizing the town and plaguing an adult community. Residents of a 55 and up community are being attacked, quote, by a gaggle of up to 60 wild turkeys. Todd Frazier tweeting, I've seen the reports about wild turkeys in Toms River. They are a big problem here as well. Toms River and Toms River Wildlife say they can't move them. That's ridiculous. They have come close to harming my family and friends, ruined my cars, trashed my yard, and much more. Somebody responded to Todd Frazier's tweet, it sounds funny, and it is when it isn't you, I have to admit that, but those things are vicious. They will attack people and their own reflections in cars. Frazier went on to tweet at the governor, Phil Murphy, animal control needs to step up and move these animals ASAP. State wildlife control needs to figure it out. What's it going to take? Somebody else responded to this tweet. Hey, Governor, these wild turkeys are obviously a danger to this community. Todd is eager to help. Let's call the New Jersey legislature together and come up with an answer to these very dangerous animals that trespass, defecate, and possibly endanger our homes and our very lives. Couple of things here. Todd Frazier, seems like a great guy. Seems like a totally down-to-earth, great guy. I would not expect the sounding of the alarms from a guy like that on turkeys. Okay, these are birds. They're fat, slow birds that we eat.
They run 25 miles an hour.
Look, maybe you can't outrun a turkey. I can outrun a turkey.
No, you can't. No, you cannot. A turkey runs 25 miles an hour. You ain't outrunning that.
People are so soft. Okay, I grew up in the woods. I see turkeys all the time. I see bands of turkeys go across my parents' place every single weekend I'm there.
Your dad has an in-ground pool. You didn't put up a tent in the woods and grow up. Let's relax where you grew up.
It's a pool in the woods. They live on 15 acres in the middle of a mountain. I see turkeys all the time. I'm not scared of those turkeys. When somebody tweets at the governor that we need a legislature meeting to get together to remove the turkeys, I know these people they got too much time on their hands. If you're worried about tweeting to your local government to get a meeting for this, turkeys, I mean, think about all of the issues we have in our local townships, funding, taxes, community support, crime, These people care about turkeys, then you've got too much time in your hands and nothing else is actually going on in Tom's River.
D.A., if you have 60 turkeys that run at 25 miles an hour per clip, and they're okay. pecking away at cars.
They're the Olympic team.
Now, and now it's in a retirement community. How would you feel if you were visiting your grandpa, you know, you try to bring him a little Jell-O, and you got, you know, 16 birds running up on you like that, ready to jack you?
I'd say,
you ain't going to be punting them. You're going to be scared, get in your car, and get away.
I'd say, man up, grandpa. My grandfather was in the war. You think he's going to be scared of turkeys?
At that age, yes, you would be.
Stop it.
And you know what? This is on us for taunting these turkeys. We make the stupid hats. We have the holiday every year where they're the symbol of we're going to eat you. And now guess what? Is the timing any coincidence here? We're 3 weeks away from Bird Day. John Madden's nowhere to be found. And now these things are forging the troops and coming up on us. They're going to be eating us on Thanksgiving.
First of all, what do we expect is going to happen? We have consistently chopped at wildlife and chopped at natural habitat for years. We have built on everything, every square foot. Strip malls here, parking lots there, car dealerships here, whole bunch of zoning for new homes and developments. And then suddenly the deer are on your lawn. You're like, why are the deer on my lawn? Well, they got nowhere else to go. The turkeys, they're attacking my car. Well, where do you think they're going to go? These are 60 turkeys. They don't just get to sign up for a lease in the new condo down the street.
They came from somewhere. I'm sure there was some
area.
Yeah,
we keep chopping them out of their natural habitat. And so this is our problem. Okay?
Well, if you're telling me there's a brand new strip mall in Tom's River and that they used to live there, then maybe I understand. But you got to get them somewhere. There's got to be a petting farm somewhere. Get them in there. We build these things. There's a zoo.
Okay, so you want to see 60 turkeys in the zoo. That's a hell of a zoo.
No, but then you cycle them out. You kill them for Thanksgiving. You get the next crop in next year.
You can't eat these turkeys. These are turkeys you can't eat. These are wild turkeys.
But how would you know if you shot it that that's a wild turkey or a regular turkey?
So well,
you can only eat the one in the farm?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you could try to eat this. But
so you're telling me the original pilgrims and Native Americans, they didn't have a wild turkey. They had a butterball from Stop and Shop. Is that what you're telling me?
No, they had wild turkeys, but okay. we have now raised
so
farm
they could
turkeys. Well, yeah, I'm sure back then they didn't know what a butterball tasted like. So if I shot one of these turkeys.
So we're eating fake turkey.
Absolutely. Do you know how much fake food you're eating every single day? Nothing that you eat probably is organic or natural.
So why does it look like a real turkey?
Well,
and that turkey never lived?
Hold the ripcord. Get
I just
out
think
of
you're
this.
Off. Like a turkey's a turkey.
I'm off. So you think if we shot one of the Tom's River Todd Frazier turkeys, they taste exactly like your turkey?
No, I'm sure maybe a little gamey, but if you shot it with some salt and some butter, maybe put a little bacon over it.
Put some bacon on it.
Like a dip.
Put it in a dip, yep.
You're off track here. Okay, number one, the priority here is that why are humans so scared of turkeys? They're birds. They're fat birds.
They're fast with talons, and if they open up their
wings,
it'll look like the Mothman prophecies running at
you. They can't even fly barely. They're barely birds.
You know how big their claws are? They could dig both your eyeballs out.
Yeah, have you seen turkeys attack humans and their eyeballs?
No, because you know why? The person filming it's dead.
All I know is this. When people are responding to Todd Frazier by saying, let's call the legislator together and these turkeys are trespassing. Okay, trespassing. So right now, the turkey should be aware of what your property line is. Oh, these turkeys, why don't they understand our property lines? Trespassing, like they're a burglar. Number two, defecate. This is your problem. Birds are pooping on your lawn. Okay, guess what? Animals do this all the time. Number three, they endanger our lives? Endanger? Get lost. Take a hike. You're soft. Get out of here. Hire somebody that can come in, pop a few caps, line them up, eat gamey turkey for Thanksgiving. When we come back, Nick Mangold's going to join us.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
Damon Amendola.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Our toll-free line brought to you by Geico this morning. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com. 15 minutes. You could save 15% or more on car insurance. Our next guest is a 7-time Pro Bowl offensive lineman. One of the best of his generation. Was a longtime member of the New York Jets. And now he's with us on behalf of making sure you get your flu shot this flu season. Nick Mangold joining us. Nick, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks so much for joining us. Last night, a wild game, Niners and Seahawks. And when you see a game like that, do you feel like a guy like Russell Wilson is always going to pull a rabbit out of the hat? That makes the Seahawks really dangerous? Or do you see a game like last night and go, well, that's just a bunch of quirky plays. Anybody really could have won that football game.
You know, I think it definitely was a toss-up, especially, you know, getting into that overtime period. But, you know, I think that's the specialness that Russell Wilson brings out, not only as a quarterback for the Seahawks, but also for every other player on that team. You know, I think they have the belief in him that he's going to get the job done. And if anybody was going to beat the 8-0 San Fran, I pegged it to be the Seahawks.
What would it be like to block for a guy like Russell Wilson or Lamar Jackson that move around so much, make so many plays with their legs? How hard is that to be a blocker and know that there's so many other things that can happen behind you?
Yeah, you know, I think it would be a double-edged sword. I think one side would be awesome because they're making plays and everything, but the other side, you never know where they are. And, you know, you want to make sure that you keep yourself in between the defender and the quarterback. And if you don't know where the quarterback is, it makes it a little tricky. So as long as they keep making plays, I think it would be a lot of fun to block for them. But I think it would be a pretty difficult task.
As a former player, does the officiating bother you? Does it annoy you when you watch on Sundays?
Yeah, it definitely does. You know, it slows the game down, you know, and it's it just hasn't been, you know, there's not one person who said, hey, you know, this is working great. Let's continue with what we're doing. You know, everyone's upset with it. And so hopefully the league realizes that and makes the appropriate changes. What those changes are, I don't know, but they don't pay me to figure that out. I assume they'll pay somebody to figure that out. And they need to do something.
Nick Mangold joining us this morning here on the show. I think not only does it slow the game down, doesn't it feel really inconsistent that, like, you know, one penalty, okay, I could see that. Then the other time you go, well, that doesn't make any sense when you compare it against the previous penalty.
Right. And I think that's, you know, the trouble we're seeing, you know, is the inconsistencies with it. And, you know, I've been a big advocate for full-time, year-round officials. I think that would go a long way. But, you know, I think there's a lot of things they need to figure out.
I think the NFLPA has been pretty vocal wanting full-time officials. Why does the NFL fight you guys on this?
I think it's just the NFL's way. They're going to push back on everything, especially with the new labor deal being hammered out right now. You know, they're going to dig in deeper and deeper. So hopefully, you know, new labor deal and they get that worked out. Without too many headaches, and, you know, maybe lifetime medical, which wouldn't be too bad of a thing for everybody, you know, and hopefully be able to move on to the officiating as soon as they get that done.
Nick Mangold is our guest this morning on the show. How do you figure the Jets sees? They seem to have plenty of talent, and at times they can look good, like beating the Cowboys or the way that they scored points this past Sunday, and other days they just look totally lost. They're 2-7. How do you explain it?
You know, I think the first side was, you know, you look at the offensive line who didn't get a chance to play together in the preseason. I think that has hurt them the most. And then you look at Sam Darnold being out for 3 weeks with mono and playing not only their backup quarterback, but he gets hurt, and so they're on their backup's backup. And, you know, you have a hard time finding that rhythm. So I think hopefully as things are shaking out and the offensive line is working together, you know, they keep switching pieces around and everything. Hopefully they can get that settled and finish the season on a high note, you know, and really find their consistency.
Last night, Jadeveon Clowney was a monster for the Seattle Seahawks. When you're blocking a guy that's just having an all-world game and he's that fast and that strong, what are the tricks of the trade that an offensive lineman tries to use just to slow a guy down?
Oh, nobody had an all-world game against me. That's ridiculous.
well, one of your teammates, let's say.
yeah, you know, you go to the 10-cup method, and, you know, you put your change in the other pocket, you turn your hat sideways, and you try to do anything and everything. And the biggest thing you have to do is fall back to your fundamentals and you know, make sure that you're doing everything precise. Because when guys who have amazing talent like Clowney get going, it can be a hard task.
You're looking for our listeners and NFL fans to make sure that they are all checked up, flu shot-wise, coming up in the flu season. So what can our listeners do?
Yeah, you know, the flu shot is something real simple. Everyone should go get their vaccine because not only does it help prevent, but if you end up do getting the flu, it lessens the effects especially those with young kids. You know, I have four little ones, and so we yearly get our flu shot because the babies, you know, up to 6 months can't get it. So it creates a big concern, you know, if a little one gets it. So, you know, we're trying to raise awareness today. Get out there and get your shot and, you know, help everybody out.
Nick Mangold, 7-time Pro Bowl offensive lineman, joining us this morning on the show. Good stuff, Nick. We appreciate the time, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Have
okay,
a good one.
You too. Nick Mangold, our guest this morning on the show on a Trash Tuesday. Senor Pantleg tweets, I want to trash my kid's school for sending me 15 emails and 15 voicemails a day about what crazy socks they're going to wear next week, what teacher's having a baby, or what ridiculous after-school function we have to attend. My parents didn't have to go through all this email crap.
I smell rotten eggs.
Jonathan tweets, I've died laughing at Mraz and his turkey takes, the ones that can grab his eyeballs. Trash everyone. Go out, shoot them birds. Have a Thanksgiving to remember. Hashtag get them out.
Overflowing landfill.
Jay in the 208, I'm trashing Mr. Charlie, who after 3.5 months suddenly has a problem with my awesome work truck parked on my street. Not even on his street. Get a life, old man.
Splash Brothers, more like the Trash Brothers.
Dixie Landan, of course, weighs in on eating wild turkey. There's a big difference between wild turkey and a store turkey. Yes, you could eat a wild turkey, D.A., if you could eat turkeys, deer, ducks, squirrels, rabbits. I mean, if you shoot it, you can eat it. Hell, I got an uncle that used to eat rattlesnakes. That's where we needed Dixie Landan here, just to add in that, of course, he has a family member that used to eat rattlesnakes. That's next week's football food of the week. Let's get to your epic fail this morning. Mraz drops the bomb. He once applied to Duke.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
I'm telling you that there's huge swaths of the American population that don't.
And that's why there's only one Ivy League conference. You think everybody in the SEC or the ACC has those kind of brains? If everybody was that smart, I got news for you. There'd be Harvards in every conference.
So you don't think there's any good schools in the ACC?
Smart schools? Okay, you got to be smart to go to Duke. I know that. I get it. I applied. I didn't get in.
They had to work for their shots.
I understand.
You applied to Duke.
I wanted to go after this community
college. You applied to Duke?
I did. That was the only time I was going to go away.
Oh, my God.
I told my guys, I said, what? They don't beat themselves.
I didn't think I'd get in, but I wanted to try.
You didn't think. You didn't take the SAT.
My cousin got a Duke. No, because I told you after 2 years.
I figured you were a legacy at Duke that we're going here. Yeah, cousin went there.
I tried.
He feels less pressure with more responsibility.
After 2 years of community school, you don't need SATs anymore. I applied. They just sent me.
You thought you were transferring from community college into Duke?
And that would have been the only school I would have went away for community shower.
Yeah, that was it.
Those are the type of people you would like in your organization.
And out of state, there's no way. There's no way you would get into those schools. No
okay,
way.
But that's the point. If we had like a big, like I could get into Rutgers, I bet.
You didn't get into Stony Brook. Why would I get into Rutgers?
I don't think you could.
Stony Brook was more prestigious.
Not even close.
Really happy.
Not then.
Grades wise?
Not 15 years
ago.
Have
you seen their math department?
Have you? Have you seen any math department? I mean, my daughter's third grade math book throws me for a loop, so I can't even imagine what it would do to you.
Look,
can you solve for why?
Bottom line is this. I'm not. You're right. I've never projected myself to be a brainiac. My point is.
Except that time you applied to Duke.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Oh, man. Bogus was on a roll. Have you seen any math department? Robin Erie, PA, tweets, I'm trashing people who have lived in the snow belt their entire lives and forget how to drive when we get 6 little inches of snow. Hashtag get them out.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
Kevin tweets, I'm trashing the game analyst who starts after a player gets hurt. Let's cross our fingers they aren't injured too bad. Who on earth has gone to the doctor's office that upon diagnosis gives you a script for enhanced group finger crossing as the cure? No one.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
Let's cross our fingers Let's make sure. Manny tweets, I'm trashing Steve Young and the rest of the show for the ridiculous take on the Dolphins on tanking. They won two games and no one's in the hospital, Steve. Make phone calls before making assumptions.
Let's face it. That's straight trash.
Art Bobart tweets, I'm trashing Mraz for not getting his fat ass into work yesterday. The Giants lose to an awful team and you can't be bothered to come in and give us a rant. It's the freaking holidays. It's the time to give. Be the adult in the room, Mraz. Show up to work, you baby.
Splash Brothers? More like the Trash Brothers.
For the record, I had something for my actual baby. Art Bobart.
The Silver Fox is tweeting, the guy that pinned him in the snow with his two cars, boxed in by Neanderthals that don't know how to park, trash them like no one has ever been trashed.
Stinky debris.
Also, beam me up if you please. I need a ride. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Beat the Body Melody on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan at WatchDA.com. Thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Champ and Chump tomorrow, boys and girls. The Mothership disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.